Okay. So tonight, we're giving the shiur, Le'ilei Nishmas, a little baby, and that's really what tonight's whole shiur is going to be about. So I came to work today, and Avivit, who's my right hand, everyone knows Avivit, and Elisheva, and Avivit was in a very sort of depressed mood, and anyone who knows Avivit knows that Avivit's always in a very good mood. So I said, Avivit, what's going on? So she said that she has a cousin in Eretz Yisrael who's 2 weeks overdue in her ninth month, and she found out that the child is not alive anymore, and it's a stillborn, and she has to deliver today, she has to give birth to this child, knowing it's her cousin's first child, knowing that that she's giving birth to a child that's not alive. So Avivit was very tzibrochen and very broken, and was on the phone the whole time as this cousin was delivering this baby. So she finally gets a call from the cousin, the mother of the baby calls her up, and she says, Avivit, it's over. You know, the baby was delivered. It was a baby girl. And I want you to know, I just want to, just to understand the Jewish woman. She said, I just want you to know that Hashem had a lot of mercy on me, and the giving birth was much easier than I thought it would be. That's what she focused on, that even though the child wasn't alive, but that she was able to give birth and she didn't have to go through a lot of pain or a cesarean delivering this baby. So it's just like amazing after Tisha B'Av, after sitting yesterday and talking about Klal Yisrael, and I got up and I was talking about texting on Shabbos and all the terrible things that are happening in Klal Yisrael. But the bottom line is that we learned a very important lesson today, that as troubled as we are and as much stuff that we're going through, here you have a woman that's her first child and carrying for 9 months, carrying full term, and the baby is born not alive, and all she's focused on is, don't worry, Avivit, it was an easy childbirth. And she said, I mean, Avivit, when she comes, can quote it better than me. And she said that even though the baby was not born alive, I feel that it was very special to me, and that it was mine, and I took care of it, and whatever Hashem wants, Hashem wants. So there's a Rav Chaim Vital, who was the Arizal's Talmud. So he writes in one of his Svarim the whole thing of miscarriage and why it happens, and he talks a lot about the neshamas, and he says that there are many neshamas in the next world that don't want to come down to this world, because when you come down to this world, there's a chance that you're going to do averus and you're not going to do very well in the world. So there are some big tzaddikim that come to the next world, and they have a little something they did wrong. They did something a little wrong during their life, and the punishment is that either they have to go to Gehenna or they have to come back to this world. And these tzaddikim, they don't want to come back to this world because they got to that world. They already passed the test. They did very well, and if they're going to come back, they're gambling that they're going to come back the next time much worse. So they say to Hashem, he writes a whole story there. They say to Hashem, I really don't want to go to that world. But since there was such a big tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, there's a certain amount of time that you have to go back to that world. But it's only a month, or 3 months, or 8 months, or 9 months. But you don't even have to be born. You just have to be walking around that world. You don't have to come out. There's no chance that you'll ever do anything wrong, because you're not going to even be born. And those are all very, very holy souls. And they're guaranteed that they're going to spend their time in this world, but there'll never be a chance that they'll come back to the world worse than they're coming to this world. And he says, he writes in his Sefer, that these are the miscarriages. When someone has a miscarriage, so that's a soul, because we know that the minute, which I'm going to learn tonight from a very, very deep Medrash in Parshas Pekudei, so that when the child is conceived, the soul comes down to the child. So the soul is already there at the moment that the egg becomes fertilized and the child is conceived. The neshama is put, and we're going to read a fascinating story tonight. And that's when the neshama is there. So that neshama of this little girl had to come down to this world for 9 months. But she didn't have to be born. She didn't have to come into the life of this world. And it says, very interesting, in Rav Chaim Vital, and I told her to call her cousin, he says, so when the mother of a miscarriage, and a stillborn, comes up to the next world after 120 years, so the child that she was carrying is waiting for her. And that neshama, since she was the tool to bring that neshama to its fulfillment in the next world, so that neshama of that miscarriage, whether it's a month or 9 months or however long it was, is waiting for the woman who carried her. And because that woman suffered a whole life, that she lost a child, so she's suffering a whole life, and all she suffered was to actually be carrying for this tzaddikus, or this tzaddik that had to come into this world. So Rav Chaim Vital says that that neshama of that tzaddik that didn't have to come in the world takes that woman that had the miscarriage and brings it to her place in Gan Eden. Because she suffered to carry that neshama. And therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, you, it's unbelievable, Chaim Vital. Mida Keneged Mida, you suffered because the rest of your life you're walking around and you feel bad, this tragedy that happened to you. So you suffered to give me life. In this world, I'll make sure that you don't suffer. Since you made sure that I won't suffer in this world, I'll make sure you don't suffer in that world. And that little child, that neshama, that big neshama, takes that woman who suffered the miscarriage and Avivit's cousin and brings it, thank you. Thank you from Basi. And brings it to Gan Eden. So I'm just amazed. Avivit's here. Could you repeat what she said? Because I don't remember the exact line that she said. So, it's. She said, I can't bring her up, and I can't take care of her. I still feel very much like her mother, and she is her mother, and she's the mother of that neshama in the next world. And when a person accepts a tzara, when a person accepts a tragedy, then that tragedy works for them in the next world. If a person just says, the doctor says, yeah, okay, first pregnancy, this stuff happens, it's nature, they give you percentages, 30%, 20%, whatever it is. And the person walks out of the doctor and says, oh, you know, I'm one of the 30%, then she doesn't get the tikkun. She has to realize that it's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here you have this girl that all she was saying after all my screaming yesterday about Klal Yisrael and everything that we're doing wrong and how disconnected we are. And here she says after such a tragedy, Avivit is over here, she's crying. And the girl is giving birth to the baby, is saying, Baruch Hashem, Hashem made it easy on me. Mika Amcha Yisrael, Hashem should bring us the geula in the schus of such women. B'mehera b'yameinu amen. So, and Rafu Shalema for Galit? Tali Bat Ola. Rafu Shalema. So, that brings me to a Medrash Tanchuma and Pashas Pekudei. Very, very interesting story on how a person is created. So he says the following. Ketzad Kishabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzalomei, when God created his world, he created Adam and Chava, and he created the ability for a woman to conceive and to have children. So he says like this. Shekol ha-neshamais, all the souls, shehayu min ha-Adam ha-Rishon, from Adam ha-Rishon, until Mashiach comes, until the end of the world, kulam nivru b'sheshes me'ab reshes. There are no new souls. There are no new souls. They were all created in the 6 days of creation. V'kulam b'Gan Eden, and they all were in Gan Eden. V'kulam hayu b'matan Torah, and everybody was at Matan Torah. Okay. So he says the following. B'shar shabah adon l'shamish is ishtoi, at the moment that a man is with his wife, roimeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God signals to an angel, Hamamuna, his job is al harayon, on pregnancy. Ushmo, and the name of this angel is Layla, night. Bakash Baruch Hu amalo, and God says to him, Zda, I want you to know, Shazu halayla, this night, Noitza Oda Mizera Pliny, we're going to create a human being from this man. Dalacha, you should know, Hishama Bezu Atipo, you are chosen to watch this child. V'tolayza Bekabcha, and put it in your palm. I guess this is on a spiritual level. Uzrei say begarin l'shloish medrash shiur chamisha chalakim, and cut it into 365 pieces. Who isolate Cain, and he does this. Miyad, immediately the malach, the angel, noiten atipa yada u'mevil ifnei mishama v'haya ilam. He brings this little thing to God, to the one who created the world. V'oymal l'funav. And the Malach says, the angel says to Hashem, I did everything you told me to do. So the Malach asks God, every one of us that's in this room, every human being that's in the world. The Malach asks Hashem, what's going to happen with this? Immediately God goes there, he decrees alatipa on this child, what's it going to be? Im zachar, if it's going to be a boy, im the cave, or it's going to be a girl. Im chalosh, if it's going to be weak. Im gibor, it's going to be strong. Im ani, if it's going to be poor. Im asher, if it's going to be rich. Im katzer, if it's going to be short. Oy arach, or it's going to be tall. Im mechayer, if it's going to be ugly. Oy nor, it's going to be beautiful. Oy ava, oy dak, if it's going to be heavy or it's going to be skinny. Im bazoy, oy gas. V'chein goyzal kol koreisav, and Hashem decrees on all the abilities of this child. Aval, but im tzaddik im rasha, if this person is going to be good or bad, lo. There, Hashem doesn't interfere. Ela hadava hahu naisne biyada shel adam avad. That is put into the hand. That is our bechira, as it says in the pasuk, ve'ena sati lefnecha yom es hachayim es hatoiv es hamavad ves hara. Hashem says, today, the day you're born, I give you the choice of life and good or death and bad. Okay. Miyad, immediately, Ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God signals, V'malach ha'mamun ala ruchais, he calls the malach, that his job is he takes care of the spirits. So far, the other malach actually brought the physical. Now Hashem calls the malach that takes care of the spirit. V'amalai, Hevelei Ruach Ploni, bring me the spirit of this person, Jehu B'Gan Eden, the spirits in Gan Eden, Sheshmo Ploni, this is his name. All the spirits that are going to come into this world, they were all created when the world was created. And they're all set up that each person has a different ruach. Miyad halacha malach, right away the malach comes, who maybe it's a ruach from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings the ruach. Ukesha ruach ba, when the spirit comes, miyad koru mishtachim lefnei melech melech elohim, it bows down in front of God. Oysa asha, that moment, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ruach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the spirit, he kansi b'tipazu shabiyad plaini. I want you now, spirit, to go in to this seed that's in the hand of the malach. Pasav haruach piv amalufanov. So the ruach says to Hashem, the spirit says to Hashem, b'bayne shalaylam. God, daily oilam shi'isi doma yam shabrasani. I'm happy in Gan Eden, where I'm living. Lomo v'tzaychli nedi b'tipazu. Why do you want to put me in this putrid drop? Sha'ani kedushik tahara. I'm holy. And I'm part of you. I don't want to go into the world. Miyad Amar Kosh Baruch Hu L'Neshama. HaKosh Baruch Hu says to each one of our souls, Olam Shani Michnisach Bay, the world that I'm sending you down to, Yafa, it's beautiful. Yehela Mimasha Yisadaraba. It's a beautiful world, and you can do very well there. U'bishashi Yatzicha Lo Yatzicha Elul Tipazu. And I only created you. Don't tell me you want to stay in Gan Eden. I only created you to be in this person. So what are you telling me? You want to stay in Gan Eden? But the spirit still doesn't want to go into the body. It doesn't want to become physical. So Hashem doesn't give it a choice. Miyad machnisa kosh baruch hu l'sham bal kocha. Hashem puts the spirit into the human seed by force. So the first malach now takes this ruach, this spirit, and puts it into the womb of the mother. And every person in the womb has two angels. And they watch him. That he shouldn't leave. And she shouldn't lose the child. And there's a spiritual light on every baby, on the head of every baby in the mother's womb. Okay? Umabed, and this little baby in the mother's room, he sees from one end of the world to the other. So now the malach takes this baby from there. So each one of us, before we came to this world, each one of us saw Gan Eden, because each one of us of our souls, together with this body, were taken to Gan Eden. And Hashem shows us Umar Le at Tzadikim Yoshim V'Chavad. He shows us all the Tzadikim that are sitting in Gan Eden. For Omah Hamalach Loisei Ruach, and the Malach says to the person's spirit, Teidalacha Mihem Elu. Do you know who these people are that you see in Gan Eden? Omalei Haruach. So the spirit says, Lo Adoni. I don't know who they are. Chayzer Hamalach Loimolei. The Malach tells him, Halalusha Teroya. These Tzadikim in Gan Eden that you see, Noitru B'Tchila K'Moyzcha. They were also created before like you. B'Soich Mei Imam, they were also in the mother's womb. B'Yatzal Olam, and they went into the world. V'Shamu Torah Mitzvos, and they got off their cell phones, and they kept Torah Mitzvos. Doesn't say that here, but. L'fichach Zachu, which is now L'Toy V'Shat Roya. Therefore, they are now sitting in Gan Eden. Dalacha, you should know, he says to this neshama, to our neshama, S'Soich Chaletzos L'Olam, that you're also going to go into the world, the imtisken, if you're lucky, and you have this chus, v'sishma ha-Torah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you listen to the Torah, tiskel l'chol yishiva shel elu, one day you're going to sit with all of them in Gan Eden. But he says, v'im lav, but if not, da re'eh, you should know, shetiskel l'makam acher, that you're going to end up sitting somewhere else, l'erev, they wait till at night, till the evening, malichol l'gehenom, they take this ruach to Gehenom, umar lo shem as a rishon, and they show them the rishon, the bad people, that the Malachi HaKabbalah are hitting them with whips of fire. And they're screaming, vai, vai. There's no pity on them. So the Malach says to the Ruach, do you know who they are? I don't know my master. These are the ones that are burning. They were also created like you. And they went into the world. And they didn't listen to the Torah. That's why they're so embarrassed. You should know. You're coming to the world. Have a tzaddik. Please be a tzaddik. Don't be a rasha. And you're going to have this chus to come to Olam Haba. Okay. Now he goes on and he says, following, unbelievable. You should know that before you leave your mother's womb, that you're the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem tells him this. Hashem tells every neshama, remember who your tati is. I am your tati. So before you leave your mother's womb, remember, B'noi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the son of God. Kikein Yisrani K'moy Avshim Yasra B'noi. Hashem gives us Musar, the way a father gives his child Musar. Okay? Hashem warns all of us. And the Malach takes each neshama, and he shows each neshama where the place is that he's going to die, and where he's going to be buried. He takes him through the whole world. He shows him the tzaddikim and the rishom, and he shows him everybody. And at night, in the evening, they bring him back to the womb. And Hashem, in the mother's womb, gives him everything that he needs, his pipes, his food, his veins, his bones, whatever he needs. And this baby is in its mother's stomach for womb for 9 months. Interesting. The first 3 months, he lives on the bottom of the womb. In the second 3 months, he lives in the middle of the womb. V'achroinim at the end, dor midor elyon, he ends up in the top of the womb. We'll skip all the little. So at the end, he says, it's now your time to come to the world. So now, the baby says to the malach that's in the stomach, why do you want to put me into the world? My son, that you're forced to be created, and you're forced to be born, and you're forced to die, as we say in the Mishnah. And they put out the light on top of his head, and they bring him into the world. And at that point, miyad, immediately, shekeach atinoik, akomashurasa, he forgets everything. So this is an interesting medrash. He says, lama hatinoik baicha, why does the baby cry? Amal sha'ovid mekoy manoch ravocha v'adolam shiyotzim yimenu. He cries because he left this place on such a high level, on such a spiritual level, and now he's come to this level. And then he goes into a lot of Kabbalah things. And in the end, he says that a person has a chance, and that's why I'm telling you this story, that a person has a chance to come back to the next world and to be on a much higher level than he was even in Gan Eden. We are all in this world, and we are all saying that we want to go to Gan Eden. And meanwhile, the Medrash is saying that if you do what you're supposed to do in this world, you're much greater than when you were in Gan Eden. When you say thank you to someone and you make them smile, and when you do something and you help someone, which I'm going to read you a fantastic story, and you help somebody, then you can't do that in the next world. In the next world, you can't do chesed. You can't make a bracha. You can't say bracha to Hashem. You can't make a bracha on an apple, on a flower. You can't do kivud avein. You can't call your mother. You can't help her set the table. Oh, to see a mother smile. To make a mother smile. Oh, what a mitzvah. Can't do that in the next world. You also can't aggravate him in the next world. You probably still could aggravate him in the next world. So in the next world, we're stuck. In this world, every moment, every second, you can make a bracha, you can do a mitzvah, you can make someone smile. So I got into this chicken soup for the soul and started reading it. And I thought first it was a Jewish book, chicken soup. But someone told me, no, the Jewish version is chicken soup with matzo ball. And that's not this is not the Jewish version. But so I started reading, just skimming through it a little bit. And there's two things that I'd like to talk about. Especially, I think that tonight, being that I opened my shir, and we're learning Le'ili Nishmas, this child that doesn't even have a name, because it wasn't born alive. Maybe they gave it a name, I don't think so. So we're learning Le'ili Nishmas, this neshama who's for sure in Gan Eden, who didn't even come into this world, didn't even have, at the end of the Medrash over there, that the baby's crying because it didn't want to come into this world. This baby never cried, it went straight to Gan Eden. Never had to come into this world. So there's two very important points. One, that everybody should really appreciate life. That Baruch Hashem, we made it. We weren't stillborn and we wouldn't be here. So we made it, and we're here. So there's so much we can do. So why are we sitting around doing nothing? So we need to take on ourselves. You know, it's Shabbos Nachamu, and there's parties, and there's Zachin. And I'm thinking to myself, the word Nachamu means to console. What's the consolation to Hashem that you party on Shabbos Nachamu? So what would be the greatest consolation? A lot of you girls were here yesterday, and you heard all the different speeches, and we all spoke about the same thing. We all spoke about connecting to God. And being connected to Hashem. They're going to tow my car. That's nice. Why are they going to tow my car?
Because it's parked in the middle of the...
Who parked that car? Okay. Anyway, so... Okay, the Yitzhari doesn't... So I want to talk a little bit. First of all, Shabbos Nachamu is a Nechama... Again, so let me go back to what I spoke about in Tisha B'Av. The Avelos, the sitting on the floor in the Avelis of Tisha B'Av is not for us. Everybody thinks it's for us. We lost the Beis HaMikdash. We had the Spanish Inquisition. We had the Holocaust. That's not what Tisha B'Av is about. Tisha B'Av was sitting on the floor for Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu lost his children. Kadosh Baruch Hu lost his Beis HaMikdash. We all have houses. Everybody lives in a house. Some bigger, some smaller, some with central air conditioning, some without central air conditioning. But everybody has a house. Baruch Hashem, most people have parents. And everyone, most people who are married, most people have children. Because Baruch Hu doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a house. There's nowhere in this world. He doesn't have a house. And his children are so far away from him. So Tisha B'Av is avelus for God, not for us. And if it was for you, then you missed the whole picture. You missed the whole picture. So if the avelus, right, is God's avelus because he's in pain, so where's the nachamu? The nachamu has to be God's nachamu. The person who's in pain is the person you console. So if God's in pain and I party on Shabbos nachamu and I go to parties and I don't even want to say what goes on Motzei Shabbos and right, and if that's what Shabbos nachamu is, so you may be consoling yourself that, you know, it was tough the 9 days. I didn't have a steak, you know, and no music. I'd listen to the acapella stuff, a bunch of guys humming and not even in tune. Like, you know, I had to suffer. And I suffered so much, and now Shabbos Nachamu, you know, it's one big party. Then you miss the whole picture. The Nachamu on Shabbos is a consolation to Hashem. What is the greatest consolation we can give Hashem? Shabbos Nachamu. The greatest consolation we can give Hashem on Shabbos Nachamu is spending Shabbos with Hashem. That's the greatest consolation, is having a Shabbos and not sitting in your bed and reading some newspapers, but actually sitting at the table that you haven't sat for who knows how long. And if you're the only girl, or your brothers let you sing a little Zmiras. And you know what would be a big Shabbos Nachamu? If some of the girls would bake challah for the Shabbos. Shlissel challah after Pesach. It's a skula for Panasa. Everybody bakes shlissel challah. Everybody's looking for a key to put in their challah. Everybody bakes shlissel challah because it's skula for panosa. But this Shabbos Nachamu, if we bake challah, we go shopping for Shabbos, and we show our Father in heaven that we taka miss him and that we want to console him, and maybe we'll do tomorrow night, we'll come to Arnav and bake challah, which we haven't done. Or maybe we'll go to Taimche Shabbos and deliver packages. That would be the biggest nechama on Shabbos. Do you want to make an announcement? They're towing other people's cars?
Green Jeep.
Who in here would have a green Jeep?
Well, now we're not going to get up. So
to the no, no green Jeep? Okay.
I'm going to tow your car, so there's no green Jeep.
Okay. All right, so anyway, so because we're Jewish people and we live in Golos. All right, anyway, it's just the Yetzer Hara. He doesn't like when I learn that medrash about creating a person. It's not of our girl. They don't drive green Jeeps. Anyway, so also I feel very much that a very big nechama, and let's talk a big nechama, because on Shabbos Nachamu, a lot of people invite a lot of people for Shabbos, and there's nothing as a parent, I can tell you, that, and any parent that's in this room, there's
four skates.
What color?
ETC, worst plate.
Okay, don't feel bad. I parked in a worse spot, so don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Four people are going out for a Ford Escape. Okay. The share was getting boring. There's really no towing outside at all. We made up this whole thing. Anyway, I think. So as a parent, the greatest hana, the greatest enjoyment is when your kids get along. You come to a Shabbos table and all your daughters are sitting there and they're all saying nice things. I know this never happens, but if it did happen, they're all saying nice things to each other and they're complimenting each other, and you just sit there back as a parent and you watch your kinderlach and they all love each other and they're all getting along, and your son-in-laws and everyone, it's like, wow. It's like my family is a family. And the worst thing for a parent is to sit at a Shabbos table and your kids are fighting with each other. In fact, most of us will get up and go into the kitchen. We don't want to sit at the table. To watch your kids fight is the most aggravating, annoying thing that could be. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God, who his children are so spread out and so all over the world and so assimilated, one of the greatest things that we can do for him as a nechama is b'nam l'chavero, is these days to show our love for other Jews and to help other Jews. So I read a very profound little short story, which I think is a fantastic story for b'nam l'chavero. It's 2 seconds.
So there was a wise woman who was traveling in the mountains, and she found a precious stone, a diamond, in the stream. The next day, she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone in the wise woman's bag, admired it, and asked the wise woman, "Could you give me that diamond?" The wise woman did so without hesitation. She gave this guy, besides to eat, she gave him the diamond that she found. The traveler left, rejoicing at his good fortune. He knew the jewel was worth enough to give him security for the rest of his life. But a few days later, he came back, searching for the wise woman. When he found her, he returned the stone and said, "Now you take a line. I've been thinking. I know how valuable this stone is, but I give it back to you in the hope that you can give me something much more valuable. If you can give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me the stone." What a vart. Greater than the stone was the ability to give the stone. And I think that's something that every person needs to think about. What a line. I was like, wow. It's a story. I don't know. I didn't write it, but it's a story. Is it a true story? It's a great line. I don't know if it's a true story, but yeah, I could. Yeah, 100%. It's a true. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. The ability to give from oneself is probably greater than what you give. The ability to give. She knew it was a precious stone, and she knew that it was invaluable. And he said, "I realized that the ability to give me this stone is greater than the stone itself." Godless. Okay. There's one other story I'd like to read to you, which has a lot to do with the disconnect to connect, which I think is very, very important. And after I decided to say this story tonight after the situation that happened, because a child, as I said on Tisha B'Av, having a child is having the ability to have your heart walk the earth. And so many of us, and even the young girls who don't have children, but because we're so attached to everything else in the world, we don't know how to attach to another person. So whether you're married to attach to a husband, or to attach to a child, or to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're living in a world of no emotions. We're living in a world where a husband says, "I love you," through a text, which has absolutely no emotion. And a child sends a good Shabbos to her mother through a text. And students send their teachers, "Have an easy fast," through a text. You can't even pick up the phone and tell your Rebbe, "I hope you have a good fast." No, it's a text that they sent out to 800 people, and my rabbi happens to be under R, so he got one also. So a woman today told me, she called me up. She said, "You know, I saw your thing on Tisha B'Av, on Disconnect, and I want you to know that I was so upset. My daughter sent me a text, Erev Tisha B'Av, 'Mom, I hope you have an easy fast.'" She said, "She used to call me. We used to talk for 2 minutes. 'Mom, I hope you have an easy fast.'" She texted it to me. It has no feeling. See, us from the old generation, we know what feelings are. This generation doesn't know what feelings are. Your feelings, right, in my generation, which is, I told you, 30 years BC before cell phones. So we used to actually smile at people. We used to smile at people. They're going to lose all their money, these guys who do braces, because they don't need that anymore. They're going to teach you how to do braces on a cell phone. At the end of, they send you a text, right? The mothers here know that. Your daughter sends you a text, and they make this little smiley, right, at the end of the text. Or if they're upset, it's the other way around, right? So I don't know how to do that, to use the lines and do that, but I get that from people. Like when they send me a text and there's a smiley, I'm like, that's not a smile. That's a couple of lines, right? So our emotions, we're losing totally our emotions, and it's going to affect our children, and it's going to affect our husbands. So I think that this is a very important story, and I'm sorry that I'm reading so much from text. I usually, if I don't have eye contact with the crowd, I usually lose them. And a few girls went out to move their cars, and as you see, they didn't come back. So I guess it's a little bit too much text tonight. But I'd like to read you this beautiful, beautiful story. And it's called As I Watch You Sleep. My precious child, it's talking, a mother is writing this to her daughter. My precious child, I have slipped into your room to sit with you as you sleep and watch the rise and fall of your breath for a while. Your eyes are peacefully closed and your soft blonde curls frame your beautiful face. Just moments ago, I sat with my paperwork in the den. A mounting sadness came over me while I contemplated the day's events. I could no longer keep my attention on my work, and so I have come to talk to you in silence as you rest. In the morning, I was impatient with you as you dawdled and dressed slowly, telling you to stop being such a slowpoke. I scolded you for misplacing your lunch, and I capped off breakfast with a disapproving look as you spilt food on your shirt. Again? I sighed and shook my head. And you just smiled sheepishly at me and said, "Bye, Mommy." In the afternoon, I made phone calls while you played in your room, singing aloud and gesturing to yourself with all your toys lined up in a row on your bed. I motioned irritably for you to be quiet and stop all the racket, and then proceeded to spend another busy hour on the phone. "Get your homework done right now," I later rattled off like a sergeant, "and stop wasting so much time." "Okay, Mom," you said remorsefully, sitting up straight at your desk with a pencil in your hand. After that, it was quiet in your room. In the evening, as I worked at my desk, you approached me hesitantly. "Will we read a story together tonight, Mom?" you asked with a glimmer of hope. "Not tonight," I said abruptly. "Your room is still a mess. How many times will I have to remind you?" You wandered off in a shuffle with your head down and headed to your room. Before long, you were back, peering around the edge of the door. "Now what do you want?" I asked in an agitated tone and voice. You didn't say a word. You just came bounding in the room, threw your arms around my neck, and kissed me on my cheek. "Good night, Mommy. I love you," was all you said as you squeezed tightly. And then, as swiftly as you had appeared, you were gone. After that, I sat with my eyes fixed on my desk for a long time, feeling a wave of remorse come over me. At what point did I lose the rhythm of the day, I wondered, and at what cost? You hadn't done anything to evoke my mood. You were just being a child, busy about the task of growing and learning. I got lost today in an adult world of responsibilities and demands and had little energy left to give to you. You, my little daughter, became my teacher today with your unrestrained urge to rush in and kiss me goodnight, even after an odorous day of tiptoeing around my moods. And now, as I see you lying fast asleep, I yearn for the day to start all over again. Tomorrow, I will treat myself with as much understanding as you have shown me today, so that I can be a real mom, offering a warm smile when you wake, a word of encouragement after school, and an animated story before bed. I will laugh when you laugh. I will cry when you cry. I will remind myself that you are a child, not a grown-up. And I will enjoy being your mom. Your resilient spirit has touched me today, and so I come to you in this late hour to thank you, my child, my teacher, my friend, for the gift of your love. The end of the story. What a sad story. It is such a sad story that a mother has to sit at the edge of her daughter's bed at the end of the day and apologize for not being there. The reason we're doing this whole disconnect to connect is to break this terrible addiction that all of us, and including myself, have fallen into. Mothers not having time for daughters, and daughters not having time for mothers. Brothers and sisters and fathers, it's not just mothers and daughters. Teachers and students, even teachers today, the students come to class and the teachers are texting. It's out of control. In the shopping centers, on Avenue J, a mother pushing a little teeny baby in a carriage. The kid is screaming and she's on her phone. You're pushing your baby. Baruch Hashem, you didn't have a stillborn. You have a child, a beautiful little kid. You're out on a sunny day. You're pushing him on Avenue J. Look at the kid. Kid's crying. Give the kid something to drink. Do something. She's on the phone with Rachel, with Chani, with someone much more important. And then after 120 years, Everybody stands by the levaya, by the funeral, and they're crying and be meichel me, and I should have given you more time, mommy, and I thought you were going to live a lot longer, even though she's 95 years old. I don't know what they were thinking, but I thought you were going to live another 30 years so that I could call you then. And everyone's asking me chile, and I always sit there and I'm like, when is someone going to learn by a levaya that nobody lives forever, and now's the time to give your mother a kiss, and now's the time. I said they should make shiva while you're alive. By shiva, nobody has a bad word to say about the person who died. Everybody walks in, the greatest, with a secret malach and a secret angel, and you have the kids sitting there, my mother, she was this, and let me show you pictures when we went 30 years ago, pictures when we went to the park together, and they're all sitting there and they're showing pictures, and I'm like, where are the pictures from the last 30 years? How come you only have pictures from 30 years ago? How come you don't have pictures from last year? And it's too late. And everyone's like, I wish, I should have, I could have, including Rabbi Wallerstein. I was very, very close to my father. There was no one closer to me in my whole life. And I said that one day, he liked to learn, my father. One day I'm going to go up once a week to Muncie. I'm going to sit and learn with my father. What could be greater than the two of us learning together and arguing and learning? He loved to learn. And he used to always want me to come. And I'm like, you know, he's 65, 66, 67 years old. And he was a young 67. He played ball and he learned. And my father in my head was going to die on a paddleball court in Florida at about 98 years old with a heart attack. You know what I mean? In Florida, Miami, where he's going to retire. Whoever thought that he's going to get cancer at 67 years old and live 3 months with cancer and then die? Whoever dreamed of such a thing? And I remember that when I was sitting shiva, all I was saying was, if I would have known this, I would have been there twice a week, every week, to learn with my father. We would have had such a good time. Too late. It's too late to sit at the edge of the bed at the end of the day. This mashal, by the way, I don't take it, they didn't write it this way, but I take it as a mashal of life. Not that she's sitting at a little girl's bed at the end of the day, but at the end of life, you're so busy, and you don't have time for your kids, and your kids don't have time for you, and everyone's so busy. And at the end, everyone's apologizing. But it's too late. That poor kid got screamed at. You know, she said, I love you, but she got screamed at because her room was messy. That's why you're screaming at her, because her room is messy? She's a gorgeous little kid. She looks at you with the look in her eyes like, wow, you know, my mommy, my tati. And every parent looks at their kid, my Chayala, my Meryl, my Miriam. You know, where did that go? I said yesterday, it ends, the whole Eicha ends. Chadish Yemenu Kekedem. That's the whole point. The whole point of Tisha B'Av is to bring back what used to be. We're so old. So old. We're no fun anymore. We're not happy. We're not smiling. We're not like, you know, how's your day? Miserable. Ugh. I'll send you a text. I'll tell you how it is. You know? Send you an email. There's no life. Today someone asked me, so, how's it going, Rabbi Wallerstein? I'm like, amazing! Guy almost had a heart attack on the spot. It was too much emotion at one moment. Too much emotion. You can't give me such emotion. You're supposed to say, yeah, it'll be okay, you know, Baruch Hashem. There's a rav in Eretz Yisrael. Every time he asks me, Nu, Wallerstein, how's it going in Yiddish? Nu, how's it going? I always say, Baruch Hashem. He says, Nu, how's it going? I'm like, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem good, Baruch Hashem bad. Because there's a halacha that you have to make a bracha on the good and the bad. Right? Kishem shemavachin ala toiv, mavachin ala ra. So when you say Baruch Hashem, it could be something bad, it could be something good. So he says, that's not the answer. Baruch Hashem's very nice, but Baruch Hashem what? So now I say, Baruch Hashem, amazing. So I really, really feel, and this is what I spoke about, and I want to end with this thought. The Nachamu, and what we have to come out of Tisha B'Av is Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem, after the whole Eicha, and if you read Eicha, terrible women cook their children, and terrible, terrible stories. The most terrible stories is with Zechariah, and his blood was boiling, and they killed the little kid. It's like, and how does it end? Hashiveinu Hashem Elechem Unashuva, Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem. Make it the way it used to be. Girls, you need to think about, and ladies, and myself, we need to wait to think about when we were excited about life. I spoke a whole Tisha B'Av about excited about making challah and davening. What about excited about life? A kid comes out of the house, he's excited about life. We come out of the house, like, okay, what do I have to do today? Chadish Yemeinu Kekedem, you're alive. You came into the world. Not like this child today. You have potential. a child's in Gan Eden, but we're here. And the Midrash says that here you could do more. Hashem tells the Ruach, you want to come out of Gan Eden? You don't want to come into this world? You can come back to the world with so much more. You have to be excited. Shabbos Nachamu, the Nechama is to be excited, not because of some party and there's some big band in a hotel. That's not what you should be excited. You should be excited that after Tisha B'Av, we were able to get up and we're alive and Klal Yisrael is not destroyed and there's still so many of us and there's a girl that went through a tragedy today and all she's saying is, thank you Hashem that my labor went easy. Oh my God. That's a person who's focused. And that's the Nachamu. And that's why I'm speaking tonight, because I am very tired. And I spoke 5 times this day. And when Avivit said, I want you to speak tonight, I'm like, I got a whole list of people that are going to take my place. And I said, no. I sat here and I spoke for hours about Tisha B'Av and suffering and how Klal Yisrael is misbehaving. I said, I have to come tonight and I have to tell them. I told them how to mourn. I have to tell them how to Nachamu. And the way to Nachamu is, when you walk out of here tonight, you say, it's not Tisha B'Av, and I'm not on the floor, and I'm not fasting, and I could go home, and I can make a bracha on an apple, and I could say, Shahakol Nia B'Varo. I can make a bracha tonight. You know you can say to God? Don't text him. But you know what you can tell God? You can take a glass of water and you go home tonight. You can do the most amazing thing. You can say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Elokeinu Melech Olam, the God of the whole world, Shahakol Nia B'Varo. Everything comes from your word. Wow. You get a chance to say that to God. No animal, no plant, no one else can say it to God. Just you. Not even a non-Jew can say Shahakol. Just that's a regular plain bracha. You can do that tonight. But if you do it when you're a little kid, and you had your bracha contest, and you're sitting in class, and you made a bracha, and she said, Shefla, make the bracha, and you said, Baruch Atah. Smiling with a big smile, you know? Elok Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nieh B'Varo. Miral, now you can drink your Kool-Aid. Hey, thank you, Mara. Well, she can't say it before she drinks. And she drinks it, and she's like so excited. But how do we go home and make a bracha, ladies? If we make a bracha. Because you made a bracha this morning. So I don't know if I have to, you know, a whole day. That one bracha in the morning. Some girls have this halacha. You wash in the morning, you can eat bread a whole day. So it happens to be the right law if you're eating a whole day. But if you're not eating a whole day, right? So if you're thinking about food a whole day, maybe. So anyway, so what do? We go home, we say, Diet Coke, of course. Then, tell me if this is true or not true. Halfway through the drink, you're like, did I make a bracha? And the answer is, if you're asking that question, you didn't make the right bracha. Because if you made a bracha the way you used to make a bracha when you were a little kid, then you know you made a bracha. And when you finish benching, and you don't know if you finished benching, that means you didn't bench. And when you damage one esrei, and later on you're like, did I damage one esrei? Then you didn't damage one esrei. So what I want you to come out of this year tonight is first of all to remember that story, because that's an amazing story. Don't wait till it's too late. If you're a parent, don't wait till it's too late with your kid. If you're a kid, don't wait till it's too late with your parent. The greatest gift, there's a saying, a beautiful saying, not written in this book. The greatest gift ever given to a parent is a child. And the greatest gift ever given to a child is a parent. And you can fight it all you want. That's the way it is. And therefore, we need to use those gifts. Of course, chas v'shalom, if it's an abusive relationship and it's a dysfunctional relationship, I'm not telling you, again, you still have in kibbutz v'ein, I'm not telling you to stand there and get abused, get out of there, but you know what? Still call your mother and say good Shabbos. And still call your father and say good Shabbos. He can't abuse you through the phone. If chas v'shalom, that's the relationship. There's no mitzvah of kibbutz v'ein to sit there and get abused. But there is a mitzvah of kibbutz v'ein to call your parents and say good Shabbos and to respect them. And that doesn't change. So you have to get out of there and you have to call them from Australia. Call them from Australia. So my bracha to everyone here is that our relationships with our parents and our relationships with our children should be in the schus of this little girl who was born to this world but never entered it, in her schus. And maybe we should say it in her schus before we do it. We should make a phone call, not tonight because it's late, but tomorrow morning, and tell our parents how much we love them. And our parents and the parents that are in here should call their children. It's not an aveira to call your children and tell them how much you love them, because I'll tell you a little secret. I'll tell the parents in the room a little secret they don't know, or maybe they do know, but I don't think they know. No matter what your relationship is with your kid, the most important person in this world to get a compliment from is your mother or father. The whole world can tell you you're great, and you're beautiful, and you're special. That's nice. When a mommy tells her daughter that you're beautiful and special, she just opened the whole world for her. And when a tati tells his children that they're special, and parents don't realize that self-esteem, there's nothing more important than to hear a good word from a parent or a grandmother or a grandfather. It's a very big thing. When a grandfather or a grandmother tells a grandchild, I can tell you, I can't tell you how many kids in chinuch that I have taught in all the years of yeshiva that their grandparents saved their lives. Mamish, their grandparents. That their grandma and their babi always had a good word for them. They knew that they could cry to her. She was always there for them. That was the smile. That was the little piece of cake. That was the hug. Grandmother doesn't mean that you're out of it and that you don't count. You count. There are many kids, I'm telling you, that said to me by the wedding, I just want you to know that's my Bobby that brought me up, and it's my Bobby that saved my life. Because in my darkest times, I could not talk to my parents, but I could talk to my Bobby. She's just someone you talk to and you tell her all these things, and she just smiles. She's like a smile cushion, a smile pillow. I don't know. She never screams, and she's always there for me. These are our resources. And after I walked in today and I saw Avivit, I said, you know what? This is the speech that I want to give tonight. The appreciation of our families. And therefore, I'm not pushing it anymore, but the disconnection, you don't have to wait to Tzom Gedalia because we're having this big thing for a million hours to disconnect. Disconnect a little bit and connect to your kids. And Chas v'Shalom, don't walk in heaven, UJ, when your baby's crying on the phone. And maybe in this chus of Mida Keneged Mida, that in the next couple of days, after this terrible Tisha B'Av and after a tragic year, we connect to our parents and we connect to our children and we return this relationship that used to be, and we get excited about our Shahako and our Sheyotzah and everything else that we do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reconnect with us in a big way, and he'll bring Mashiach. And I also want to give a special regards. Tonight we have a very special person in the audience. I'm not going to point her out because she'll get all embarrassed. Now everyone in here is thinking, oh, he's going to introduce me. And I have to thank her very much that she's such an amazing mother and that she brought such an amazing child into the world. Elisheva Perlman's mother is here, who created the whole Disconnect to Connect. It was her idea. And she's an amazing girl and she has an amazing parents. And I would like to thank publicly, I'm not looking at her so that she won't be embarrassed. I'd like to thank her publicly for having special children. Her other daughter is also amazing. She's helping us very, very much. And I give a bracha that everybody should have such a mother and everybody should have such